Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim Ingram from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank you personally for joining us today. And I'd love to connect with you on social media at HighRidgeLV, that's our handle. Or check us out online if you would. Our website is highridgechurch.com and then click on the Longview tab to connect with us. Hope this message blesses you and encourages you. Hope it challenges you. Let's grab your Bibles, tune into the Word. God bless.
Good morning, High Ridge, Longview. Come on. Yes. All right, now I will say before we start, so I was born in Dallas, so I've always been a Cowboys fan, but I grew up in the Bay Area, California. Woo! All right, so I have one here, so I'm going to have to go with them. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go with them, so we're going to pray for them, and they do need more prayer. Everybody needs prayer. So I am believing for a great Super Bowl. Man, I'm excited to be here. Pastor Tim and Tina just played a great, just an awesome influence on my life, and a lot of you may know, but he hired me back in 2008 in Fort Worth as a student pastor, and I would not have hired myself at that moment. He took a leap of faith on me, and I've learned a lot from him. And I just want you to know that you have an amazing pastor, and God is doing some amazing things. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. He's in the house. So you should be excited about what God is doing. Let's go ahead and pray one more time, because I want you to open up your hearts to receive the word, because I do believe that there's a reason why you are here today, because God has a word that's going to move you forward. How many of us want to move forward with God? We need to move forward. We need a word from God, not from man, but from God. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, today as we open up our hearts to you. We receive your word, and we will not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 8, verse 12. We're going to start there this morning. And as I begin to pray and ask the Lord what to speak about today, and I started to think about all the great things that God's doing here. I mean, you guys are truly doing something amazing with Unite. You're impacting not only the church, but the community, bringing pastors together, seeing lots of people saved and know Christ, making a difference all over this community. Like, you are part of a movement. And I want you to know, you're not just part of a church, you're part of a movement and what God is doing here. So I want to encourage you to embrace, to lock in, you know, put on your seatbelt. Let's move. Come on. Let's move. God's doing it. And he told me this very clearly: make a difference. God wants each person here to make a difference. Now, when I say that, you may think about your past or your current situation. And God's not concerned about that right now. There's a reason why you are breathing. There's a reason why you're here on earth. He doesn't want you to just settle, have a nice big church on a hill somewhere with a big old bank account and feel good about yourself. He wants you to do something with what he has given you. He wants you to move forward. He wants you to make a difference. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this: Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you were walking down this dark trail. No hope, aimlessly living your life, don't know really where to go, maybe living the American dream, maybe living a life for someone else and what they've told you that you're going to be. But when you receive him in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you now have this light that brings clarity to what God has called you to do. Then he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." And this is what I've learned, is that coming to Jesus is not just about seeing the light, but being the light. Is that he has called us to now be the light that leads to life. He wants you to shine. Look at somebody and say, "Shine, baby, shine." Come on, tell. Shine. Look at your second choice and say it too. Say, "Shine, baby, shine." Come on. We all have that second choice in life. Yes, we do. He said, "I want you to make a difference. I want you to shine." See, we are called to be a light in dark places. We are called to shine light in the dark places of those around us. On your job, that crazy neighbor, that family member, even that spouse, those wild kids. I mean, before you had kids, you were just, jolly gee, let's have some kids. And when you get them, you're like, how can I get rid of these bad boys? I mean, how can we do with them? Like, what happened there between that, the dream to destiny is what I'm saying. But God has said, I want you to make a difference. Now, what happens? We all know that. We hear this. You've heard that. God has purpose and a plan for your life, and he's called you to make a difference. But there is one thing I believe that is stopping all of us, or could stop many of us today, perhaps. One word, and that's fear. That fear has stopped us from making a difference. See, fear has permeated the culture. If fear was a business, it would be a $1 billion industry. Fear, sales. Like, my parents ruined my life when I was 6 years old and they showed me my first horror movie. Y'all remember Chucky? Oh, yeah. You remember Chucky, the little 2-foot, big-headed doll with crazy wild hair, scratches on his face. He would show up in random corners of the house. And then as soon as you go to sleep, he had a butcher knife and he'd walk up and just stick you while you're sleeping. Fear. What about E.T.? Oh, we know E.T. Oh, no, there's nothing cute about E.T. There's nothing cute about a big-headed creature running through the cornfield with his finger in the air, lit up, screaming, E.T., phone home. Some of you don't eat corn today because of that movie. Let's just be honest. What about Jaws? We know Jaws. It starts with the family driving to the beach in the nice little minivan. Screens on the roof, nice little movie. Get in there, out, kids running out the car. They build a sandcastle. Then they want to take a dip in the water. Splish and splash. Everything is so beautiful, right? And you get out there, there's always that one person on a surfboard with their leg hanging off the board. And all you hear, dun, 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 dun. See, let me tell you. If you see me on a surfboard, I'm going to have both feet on the board. You're not going to have my leg dangling off the surfing board looking like a brown Tootsie Roll and then the shark come up and bite my leg off. No, thank you, is what I'm saying. Ain't no way. Fear. I remember one time my daughter, she wasn't feeling well, and I had to take her to Cook Children. And I was driving her there, and she's screaming, Dad, no, I don't want to go to Cook Children, Dad, please, no. And I said, Victoria, it's okay. I know you don't feel well. We're going to go to Cook Children. I don't want to go to Cook Children. She's kicking on the back of my seat. That deserves a spanking even if you are sick. Come on, parents. You will get spanked. And she's kicking on my seat. I don't want to go to Cook Children, Dad. I don't want to go. And I said, Victoria, why don't you want to go to Cook Children? She says, because they cook children, Dad. They cook children. Fear. You never thought about that, did you? I didn't either. Kids, very creative. Let me tell you what the Bible says about fear. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, there is no fear in God. Fear does not come from God. And maybe you're today and God has given you this amazing dream. Maybe he's asked you to do something and step out in faith. Maybe the Lord is telling you to give towards something big and to make a difference in our community. There's a worship center that's ready to be built. Come on. He didn't tell me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. There are people who are broken and need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to build that building so we can have room to see people saved. This is why we are here. That is the dream. That should be our dream. It's God, how can you use me in my life? What is stopping us from making a difference? And I want to share with you today three fears that keep us from making a difference. Three fears. Number one is the fear of not being good enough. You say, man, I'm just not good enough. You know, I want to do what God's called me to do. I want to be a pastor. I want to own my own business and I want to step out there. I'm just not good enough. You know, I want to have kids. I'm not even a good spouse. Why would I have kids? And you start to think about this. You're not good enough. Here's a story in Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 17. The story of the rich man And Jesus addresses this issue. Look at this. Verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good." He says right here, there's no one good. Only God is truly good. It's not about being good enough. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." By the way, the Ten Commandments, the first four of the commandments has to do with your relationship with God. The last six has to do with your relationship with man. And he addresses the last six because he didn't have an issue with that, but it had to do with God. And because his God was his possessions. What is our God today? What do we give our time and attention to? Verse 21. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Follow me. It's not about being good enough, but about following Jesus Christ. You notice that he didn't say, in order to have eternal life, that you must sell your possessions. That's not what he's saying. Like, you can sell your possessions and still not be saved. It's about following him. Verse 22. At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" This amazed them, but Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Verse 27, Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God." Everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with God. Verse 28, then Peter began to speak up. "We've given up everything to follow you," he said. Here it is again. Everything to follow you. It's not about being good enough. It's about following Jesus. Question today is, are you truly following God? Are you following? It's amazing how a lot of times we can tell people, "I've given 100% of my life to Christ. 100% of my life I've given to him." But we fight about 10%. We fight about giving 10% of our finances to God. Isn't that amazing? And that was his issue, possessions. He wanted to hold on to it. But you truly find life. You truly make a difference when you let go of it. When you let go, God begins to bless you because he wants to use you to make an impact. See, it's not about being good enough, but following Christ. Why? Because people don't need to see the good you, but the God in you. When you're reaching people, your neighborhood, your coworker, they don't need to see the good you because we're always going to make mistakes. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. But they want to see God inside of you. How can you be an alcoholic and a drug addict? How can you be addicted to all these different types of things and have strongholds in your life, but you're happy? You have something bigger than happiness. You have joy. Because happiness is external. Joy is internal. When you have Jesus in your life, you can go through the worst day of your life and still have joy. But happiness is just by circumstance. And it's just the circle in which you stand. Your life is always about the circle in which you stand when it comes to happiness. Happiness comes, happiness goes. See, people change when they see life change, not perfection. And I want to encourage you to share your story. A lot of you, everyone has a story. And God wants you to share your full story. Don't edit your story. People need to hear your life and what God has brought you through. He wants to hear the real you. See, some of us are not sharing our story because we're ashamed of our past. Your past doesn't disqualify you. It prepares you. It prepares you to reach people who are broken, who don't know God. You know, as Christians, we should not spend all of our energy trying to get ourselves right. I'll help somebody once I get myself right. You're going to always be trying to get yourself right. We always are. We always have things to work on. But we must make a difference as we grow and learn. Do we have anyone around us that we're pouring into, that we're encouraging, that we're helping move forward in life? See, when you don't give people around you the chance to say yes, you are saying no for them. Will you follow Christ? Number two, a fear that stops us from making a difference. Number two, the fear of man. A lot of us deal with this because we have this fear of man where we're worried about what they say about us, what they're going to do to us. Young people can make such an impact on their campus if they would just take hold of it's okay. They have this fight with worldliness and godliness, and they're wanting to do the right thing, and they want to know God, but it's hard when you go to a school with people who don't know Christ, and they're constantly making fun of you, constantly putting you down. And what happens is that we have the fear of what they're going to say that I'm a Christian. Fear, what are they going to say that I'm going to bless people or start my own business or whatever that is for me? What is God? What is the dream God has given you? We have the fear of man, and we're more worried about what people say instead of what God says about us. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. See, the fear of man is rooted in a craving for the approval of others over the approval of God. And I know exactly how that feels, being a young kid, middle school, got bullied all the time, beat up all the time. I mean, it was just the horrible time of my life. And I'm in high school, and the most horrible things to me is that for some reason, my body was just not right. Like, you ever been like that? You know how you're going through a growing stage and you're growing and just things are not connecting well with your body? That was me. Like, I was a short kid with a size 13 shoe. Yeah, ninth grade, guys, ninth grade. Little head, satellite ears. This is not good at all. And that's the way I looked. And so it's one thing when you're wanting to be pure and holy before the Lord, and it's one thing when you just don't have options. There were no options for me. So I wanted to have a date so bad. I wanted to go to prom, and I wanted to find that girl that would actually say yes. At this moment, it was anybody who would say yes. Is there anybody out there? Hello. Somebody say yes. And I remember looking in the mirror one day, and I just was caught up in fear of man, what they would say, what they said about me. And I looked in the mirror, and I said, oh, my gosh, my ears. I need to do something about these ears. So I went, and I told myself I would never tell this story. But I'm going to say it because, you know, it's just us today, right? It's just us. Okay. So I went and grabbed a roll of my dad's duct tape. Okay? There you go. Duct tape fixes everything. I know. It does not get better. Trust me. So I get some tape and I put it behind my ears and I'm in the mirror and I hold them down for 5 minutes. Quit looking at my ears. Okay? My head grew a little bit. Okay? Stop. And I put the tape behind my ear and I started pushing my ears back, pressing them back, and all of a sudden, they stayed. I went from a 2 to a 9 just like that, just with duct tape. And then, so now there's this girl I like. So I walked up to her, and I said, hey, girl, I have one line. I noticed you noticing me, okay? That never works, guys. Don't ever do that. I noticed you noticing me, know what I'm saying? Now, if someone ever says, know what I'm saying, run, okay? Run from the guy who says, know what I'm saying, okay? And I said, now, you know I'm noticing you, so will you go to the prom with me? And literally, true story, I'm looking at her, and I can feel the tape coming loose behind my left ear. I'm talking to her. I'm about to get her to say yes, and all of a sudden, pop, just like that. It was here, pop, back to a 2, just like that. See how that worked? And she looks at me, she goes, oh, your ear. Oh, now you worried about me. You weren't worried about me before, you know, and I'm embarrassed because I have one ear here, one ear here. It was horrible. And I'm trying to change who I was. Let me ask you this question. Why am I putting all this emotional energy into people that I may not see 4 years later? And I want to talk to the young people today because we are doing things and we're making decisions that are not right. And we're going against our morals and our values on when it comes to being a Christian. So people who don't even know Christ will validate us. And I want to tell you today that you are special just the way you are. God has designed you, uniquely designed you, given you the gifts to make a difference in this community. You do not have to lower yourself or your values for some zero. Go get you a hero. Come on. Go get you a hero. Connect with Jesus Christ. He loves you the way you are. You have people vaping, young people vaping right now. In the hospital, hurt. Hey, you have married, people who are married. Just to move up in the chain. Doing things that is not where God's called. I'll just keep it there, okay? That is not, you are not designed to do that and make those decisions. And God is saying, be you. Do what the Bible says. Love people. You are special and beautiful just the way you are. Somebody needs to tell you that. Let's give it up for Jesus one time today. Come on. Yes. See, when you operate in the fear of man, it is man's approval that you now seek. It is man's opinions that you value. As man goes, so you go. Where it should be, as God goes, so you go. Not man. See, fear of man bonds you to people instead of God. And it puts man on the throne instead of God on the throne. Man, let's live a life where God is on the throne. He's our filter through any situation. Should I buy the house? Should I not buy the house? Should I have kids? Should I marry them? Should I take my kids and put them in this school? Man, talk to God, not man. There is no fear when it comes to God. You are special. See, you can't make everyone happy. It's bottom line. Can't make everyone happy. Even good Christian people. Oh, Christian folks, right? You can't make everyone happy. I love what Steve Jobs says. It's a quote from him. He says, if you want to make everyone happy, don't be a leader. Sell ice cream. There you go. Some of y'all knew that one. Just go sell ice cream. Ice cream truck. Everyone loves the ice cream truck. But not everyone likes a leader who will stand for God. That's what he calls you to do. If you want to beat the fear of man, you have to trust God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says this, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. We're getting our confidence back. Some of us are getting our confidence back. Don't worry. Only way we can get our confidence back is in Christ, not man. They will leave you. They will. I'll say this. One of God's first commandments or promises to us in our relationship, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay. Leave means physically he will always be with you. Forsake means that he will not turn his heart from you. That's the God that we want to serve. Man, they'll be with you 1 minute. Next moment, they'll leave you. You could be married and sitting around the table with a spouse and you're there physically, but your heart is not turned towards them. That's not our God. His heart will always be towards you. He will always be with you physically. He loves you. You are that valuable and special. Do you trust him? Number three, the fear of relationship. Relationship. It's very hard to sit around the table with a lost person who don't know Christ. And you're trying to explain to them and tell them how important it is to have a relationship with God, but we're not good at relationships ourselves. It's hard for us. We've been hurt before. Trust has been broken. And there are people that we don't want to open our hearts to people again because they've hurt us. I get it. It makes sense. We need to set those boundaries and I understand. But everyone needs someone in their life. And it's hard with confidence to tell someone they need a relationship with Jesus when we don't have relationships with others ourselves. And they can see it. And maybe for some of us, it's our spouse. And maybe you have a long line of broken relationships. And maybe you've gone through a divorce. That's hard. Those are hard things to deal with you and then also your kids and family. It's hard. But I want you to know this, that it was more than just the two of you. It was more than just the two of you going through that divorce. But the devil wanted you to get so mad. He wanted it to hurt so bad that you would never step into a relationship again. Because he wants you isolated. He wants you by yourself. But I'm here to tell you to step into a relationship again. Trust again. My wife told me something that was so valuable, and I knew she was the one for me. Is she says, I don't trust you, but I trusted Jesus in you. I said, come on. She knew I was going to mess up. She knew. I had a long line of messing up stuff. But she didn't. She had a trust in Jesus, not in me. So look at that person different. Yes, set your boundaries. But you have to step into a relationship. Well, I don't even know how to step into a relationship. What does that look like, Levi? I'll tell you. Sign up for a group. Just start in a group with people you don't know around the table in a living room, sharing God's word, growing together. But you have to have someone in your life that when you hit rock bottom, they will pick you up. The worst place to ever be is to be broken and no one around. We have to be at a place where someone can pick you up quickly, can give you the word of God. The word of God makes you strong. He builds confidence back in your heart. The Lord, remember, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. People who will connect you to Jesus, not their opinion. We got to get connected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. He says, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. We must share not only the gospel with people, but share our life. It's going to be very hard to share your life with a person who is lost, who don't look like you do, who don't vote for who you vote for, who don't act like you act. It's going to be hard to have a relationship with them if we can't even have a relationship with each other. Come on, man, we're the family of God. If you're not in a group, get in a group. Sign up today. God has something great for you. See, when you don't add relationship to sharing the gospel, people become a project instead of a person. How do you build a relationship? Well, initiate some meaningful relationships. Your relationship with God, where's that at today? Open that Bible back up. Start reading the Bible. Start quoting scriptures over your life, over your kids, over your family. It'll take the fear away. Relationship with the church. When we come to church, are we consumers or contributors? Are we in the game? Have we ever asked the leadership, like, hey, you know, how can I help? Let God do something great in your life, in the lives through this church. What about your relationship with the small group? We touched on that. Are you in a group? What about your relationship with the team? Man, are you on a team? When you're on a team, then you're part of something bigger than yourself. You're part of something bigger than your problems. You're helping others. When you help others with their problems, God will bring the person to help you with yours. See, the right relationships are the key to making a difference. We are not ever able to make a difference by ourselves. It will not happen. And I'll end with this story today. Before I was married, I was dating Monica, which is my wife today. And I parked my car, a little Honda Accord. I had some rims on it, had some big speakers in the back, had it lowered, you know, so proud of my little car. And had it parked in front of her parents' house. And we took her car to the movies. We came back. It was dark outside. And she pulled right behind my car in front of her house. She turned off her headlights. We were there maybe 2 minutes. This little car passes us with their lights off and parks in front of my car. So now it's this random, crazy-looking car, and then it's my car, and then it's Monica's car. We're in this car. And I asked Monica, I said, hey, do you know them? Are they your brother's friends? She goes, I don't know who they are. Then the guy in the passenger seat of that car gets out and starts trying to break into my car. I know. Can you believe that? And he did not see us and to realize that we were in the car, like right behind him. And I unhooked my little seatbelt. I'm about to open up that door and show him what was up, you know. You know, I'm from the hood, but I wasn't hood. But I wanted her to know that I can get hood if I need to be hood. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know it's kind of confusing, but that's where I was. I confused myself just a moment. And so I was about to open the door, and Monica said, hey, stop. She turned on the headlight. And the guy trying to open my door, he went. And I started pointing at him. And then he starts to run, and the car he was in took off and left him. Can you believe that? And he's running behind the car, so I get out the car, and I'm running after this guy like this. You come back here, you big peanut head looking thing. And I'm running behind him, and I realized that he was a lot bigger than I was. So the Bible says to pray for your enemies. So I start praying, Lord, help him, Lord Jesus. I pray you help him, Father, amen. And I turned on back around and went on back to the car. I am not called to the boxing ministry, is what I'm saying. I'm not called to that. Let me ask you this today. Do you have someone in your life? You want to make a difference? Do you have someone in your life that can go, turn on the light, see what's going on in your life? They can look at your heart. They can say, hey, man, you're starting to go left on me a little bit. You're not moving towards God anymore. You're starting to go stagnant. You're not serving anymore. You're not connecting with people. You're starting to do things that you should not do. Do you have someone to go? And I want to encourage you today. You want to make a difference in your life? Everyone needs to have one that can help them make a difference. Come on. Let's give the Lord a big clap today. Come on. I'm believing. So I want to pray right now for us, every head bowed, every eye closed, because I believe that today is going to be the launch for many of us to get out of our problems, get out of our issues, and we're going to start making a difference, helping people. If that's you today, you say, I want prayer. Maybe there's some fears in your life. Maybe you just want some help making a difference. I want you to raise your hand. No one looking around. Hands all over this place. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every hand raised. I pray, Lord, right now that you help them move forward. I pray, Lord, that you help them fight temptation, help them fight doubt, help them fight depression, but they can move forward in you and make a difference in their life. Shake off all fears. They are gone right now in Jesus' name.
Well, I'm praying that message challenged you and encouraged you to continue in your walk of faith with the Lord. Would you do something for me? Would you like and share this message with maybe your social media group and people that you know might need this message? And then also, if you go to our website at highridgelv.com and click on the Giving tab, that would help us take the message of Jesus and spread it all around the world. God bless you. I hope you have an amazing week.